good to be here.
Bless the Lord.
Good to be here, and I thought about coming here and the fact that the Lord says one shall chase a thousand. Two shall put 10,000 to flight. And guess what? He didn't go to three. So we can't fathom God. But if one can chase a thousand and two put 10,000 to flight, according to God's math,
yes,
it is unbelievable what three can do.
Yes.
But he just left us there to wander in amazement. And you're looking good. I like this area. And there's more than enough of you to impact millions of lives.
Yes, sure.
God said to Gideon, no, 30,000 is too much.
Yes.
Give me the remnant.
Yes.
The remnant is 300.
Yes.
I'm here to say to you, saints of God, you are the remnant.
Yes, the Lord.
And therefore God has placed you here to occupy until he comes. It is amazing how earlier and in the week, or last week rather, I was thinking about Sister Bassett.
Yes.
Sister Bassett just came to mind and I said, I remember Sister Bassett used to pop out and sing this song.
Yes.
And my voice is going, but I am not going to sing, but I'm going to quote the lyrics of a song that I remember Sister Bassett's song.
Yes.
And I want us to get ourselves in place to participate in the lyrics of the song. Because lyrics are powerful.
Yes.
It tells us what the author was thinking. And how God would, you know, resort to helping. And the song that Sister Bassett, I remember her singing, was a Christmas song to some people. But it's really the mystery of what God has done for us. The name of the song is Gone from His Glory.
Yes, sir.
The deep lyrics in this song, I want us to personalize it. Digest the meaning of these words because they are awesome. Listen to these words. Gone from His glory. Ever living story. My God. No, we're going to personalize it. My God and Savior came. And Jesus was His name. Born in a manger to His own, a stranger. A man of sorrows. Tears and agony. Here is the cover. Oh, I love him. Did you love him today, says of God? Oh, I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, hallelujah, my all in all, the great creation. Became my Savior, hallelujah, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. What condescension bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight. God, gracious, tender, laid aside His splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Oh, how I love Him.
Oh,
I adore
him.
My baby.
Yes.
My sunshine.
Yes.
My all. The great creator became my sin. All God's goodness dwelleth in him. We were having a session during fasting, and Sister John, Sister John Sister John Carter, brother, a reference that I made some time ago. And it categorizes how we operate.
Yes.
We have sins of omission, sins of commission,
yes,
and sins of disposition. Now, disposition is this. The sins of omission, we don't do what we should do. The sins of commission, we do what we shouldn't do. But the sins of disposition is the second one. What we don't do it with the right motive. So although we do it, God doesn't respect it. But God is the without reluctance. Because God is eternal. We were born so we can be born again in Christ. But Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. So he became a born individual. So he could identify with you and me. If Christ was not born, we couldn't be saved.
Not at all.
But he came and became perfect human. That salvation would come to us. So without reluctance, he did it. He knew the consequence. He knew what Calvary would have in store for him. But he did it, said of God. Because you and I were on his mind. He did it without reluctance. Flesh and blood is substance. He took the form of man. Reveal the hidden plans. Oh, glorious mystery! Sacrifice of Calvary. I know. Do you know today? This is not just putting on a show. Do you really know that Jesus Christ is the Savior? You can know. We must know. We better know Jesus, and now I know the one, the great I am.
Yes.
I thought about that earlier on in the week. My sister Baptist changed mine. And today, I pray that before we leave this place, every one of us here will have the assurance that now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. For he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He alone is our Savior. He alone is our shepherd. He alone is our God. So that was my preliminary thought that I reflect, you know, eyesight. But today we're talking about God's masterpiece. Hallelujah. Yes, my sister. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But I was reading about architectural engineering, and there are some very, what you call, beautiful edifices.
Yes.
that we all admire. If you ever take a ride from down in South Beach, going all the way up to West Palm Beach and even further, and you look over towards the ocean from A1A and those things, you will have to say it in no dividers. Maybe these people are participating in the Babel campaign. Because it looks like the Tower of Babel, man trying to reach God, building high school, skyscrapers. When you think there's nobody else, when you think this would be the end of it, you see another one going with five more stories higher. But the great master builder had a plan for us. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, God's masterpiece is a phrase of the Bible, primarily Ephesians 2:10 that, you know, we just read. God is building up our edifice for His glory.
Yes, I agree.
God is enabling us to represent the thing, you know, to represent Him. When I look at what God has done, in the fullness of time, He came. But before time began, He knew He would come. That's the mystery I'm looking for. God knew all the ugliness of death, of sin, what it would entail, what He would go through, because we don't understand the intricacies of God in our life. But we are beneficiaries of what God had to go through. The psalm said there was none other good enough. Think about the things of God. Sometimes we take for granted what God has done for us. But do you know, if all of us in here gave our life, it wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. Because we were born in sin and shame and iniquity. But the one who knew no sin took upon himself the mission to become sin for us. That we who were born in sin could become the children of God.
Amen.
Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ because of what He did. God, the verse connects this artist with the purpose. We aren't just pretty art. If you look around us, you'll see beauty displayed all over the place. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about an inner beauty. Not that for a show, but that which lets the world know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That God is our rock and our foundation, our fortress, our very presence in the time of trouble. That it doesn't matter what's going on. Let's go back to what we have today. This morning when we came with the head of GPS. I noticed something about GPS. GPS is very polite. Very, very polite. GPS never gets flustered. Doesn't matter. All that GPS does is you make one turn, they keep silent, and then go and reroute yourself. Says you never get upset. Never act like there's a problem. Just try to redirect your course. But GPS is as one man against it. It is a part of AI. And you see that word named artificial? Artificial cannot inherit the kingdom. Cannot inherit the kingdom. So, the artificial thing, and as a matter of fact, everybody knows, well, not everybody, but people who don't have no sense, think that artificial intelligence is all you need to acquire. But the God we are talking about today,
yes,
the masterpiece that he built is not edifice made by mortal hands.
No.
But we are his workmanship. Glory to God. We are his workmanship. And I look at us as a body, saints of God. I visualize how important we are, that the problem some of us don't understand. We are very important.
Yes, sir.
And God does not use duplicate. Every one of us, saints of God, every one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. Our DNA is unique. Nobody can substitute for anybody. We are 100% genuine, original masterpiece,
yes,
made by God Himself.
Yes, sir.
The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son,
yes,
has washed us,
yes,
and made us clean. I was looking at how God not only made us, but He provided for us.
Yes.
I looked at what? At oxygen. Oxygen that we have a permanent need for. If we are 3 minutes away from oxygen, we're in big trouble.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
5 minutes without oxygen, we dead.
Yes.
But God, who is rich in mercy, I just discovered that 50% of oxygen comes from the ocean.
Yes.
60% of oxygen comes from the land, from trees and other areas. But God provided, God provided oxygen for us so that we could breathe properly. But I was looking at oxygen. Oxygen, what do we use oxygen for? We just use the oxygen every day and we take it for granted.
Yes.
But where did we get the oxygen? The master builder, the great,
yes,
God, the, yes, wonderful Savior.
Yes, yes.
He provided it for us long before we were born. And because we have oxygen in this place now, nobody has to bring in any help. We are breathing,
yeah,
and God is so good, He knows what's going on. What we breathe out is poison, carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
But don't worry, God has coming inside of us oxygen,
yeah,
that treats our muscle, our brain, everything that we need to function. Oxygen is here because God, the master builder and the great provider, has given it to us. I look around and I don't see one oxygen tank in here. We are all breathing. Glory to God, because the master builder,
yes,
knows how to furnish his building.
Yes.
Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whose temple we are indeed.
Yes.
But God has made everything, and then God made, I started looking at it as a man, but God is so good. The next thing I look at was sleep.
Yes.
Sleep. A lot of us take sleep for granted.
Yes.
But you know what sleep does for us? Sleep regenerates us, cleans us out, take the mess of the day, and send out what needs to go out, and set right what needs to set right so our brain can function,
oh, yes,
when we sleep.
Yes, sir.
Memory is attached to sleep.
Yes, sir.
The more we sleep, the more we remember. I'm not talking about late, you know, and don't go to work and anything, and in bed. I'm talking about the ordinary people like you and me.
Yeah.
We get up and go about our business.
Yeah.
When God gives us sleep,
yeah,
He didn't leave us. Some people say you got to take sleep in my bed. But let me say this to you, when you're dead, you're dead. But sleep is a resting direction. It's still pushing us faster. God is still working on us. And because of that, we look to him for guidance. God's masterpiece, which states that believers are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to good work, he prepared for them. The word for accident, sorry, the word for point, the word that we use for this, masterpiece is the same word that we have for point. It's the Greek word poema, something intricately crafted and beautiful. That's when God gets a hold of us and we surrender to him. He makes us effective. Now there is a difference between, let me say this first, can we talk? There's a difference between effective and efficient. When we do efficient, we know how to do things right. But when we do effective, we know how to do the right thing. Now, come with me here. There's a big difference between being effective and being efficient.
Yeah.
We can be efficient, and so we tell somebody the truth. But if we tell the truth at the wrong time, we are ineffective. We cause problems. But here is the thing that I would like us to walk away from with today. When we are efficient, we have reached the plateau to do things right. But when we are effective, we have reached the plateau to do the right thing. There is a world of difference between doing things right and doing the right thing. Because if I say to Sister Barbara, that dress you're wearing, I don't like it, you know. I am being honest, but Sister Barbara, I'm using this as a kid, and I love it, but I love it. Oh, I need to know that. This is just an illustration, so I don't want anybody to carry it or anything, Pastor Higgins in the life. Okay. Right. Because if I did that and they didn't understand it, then I come on wrong. But the beauty of it is this. God's work in our lives is always to our purpose. What we have to do is to seek him to find out the reason for that purpose. So that we can be effective. When I think about a little congregation here, I am just seeing you as an infant, but when God finished with you, when God finished with you, if we respond to the Master's call, if we stay at our post, if we ask the Lord for guidance, when God finished with this congregation, you're gonna be multitude. All we have to do is be at our place. Looking unto Jesus, the answer and the finisher of our faith. There are so many things going on around us. So many things. People are fearful. If you look at the TV, or look at the computer, or look at the phone, anywhere you go, people are giving out a lot of sounds that they are desperate. But what we as saints of God have to remember is that the foundation of God stands sure. When God calls us, and I mean, look at God is not just one who builds us up as a masterpiece, created us as a good work, calls us to have value, but God is also the one who has prepared a place. for us.
Yes.
So God not only made a building, but he provided furniture.
Yes, indeed.
And he made some, let's look at, oh God did. Scripture similar to Ephesians 2 says, emphasize believers as God's creation made for good works.
Yeah.
And a new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, no, we are new creation.
Yeah.
Galatians 6:15 says, we are new creation.
Yeah.
Colossians 1:16 says, we were created through him. An Old Testament text like Isaiah 43 verse 7 and Psalm 139:14-15 says, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. The little boy said, when he was knocking, you know, teasing him, he said, I know I am somebody because God don't make no junk.
Ah.
So even a child can testify of the goodness of God. So, we see a lot of things happening around us, a lot of issues, civic, social issues that somehow impacting the church. But remember this. Remember this, the foundation of God. It stands sure, having this seal, what seal? The seal of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us who have been bought to the price was sealed unto God. And we are indeed going from strength to strength because it doesn't matter what's happening all around us. All the way, my Savior leads me.
Yeah.
What have I to ask beside? Can I go to tender mercy who through life has been my guide? Jesus said in Isaiah 43, he said, everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Psalm 139 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So God, it's not like God is hiding. The heavens declare. We were looking at praise and worship during session on Tuesday. And we were saying that there's a big difference between praise and worship. A lot of people deserve praise because they did something good. And we praise them for that. Like the pastor, Henry, give me something really valuable. Now, I will always be thankful and praise you for what you did from the pastor. But there's a difference when it comes to worship. You see, worship is reserved for only one recipient. God alone is to be worshipped. And the psalm says, I'm going to worship. Here is the commitment. The commitment was the personal. I'm going to worship the Lord with all of my heart. Going?
Giving my all, not just the
heart. Giving my all, and not just the heart. Raise my hand to the King of Kings. Praise him for everything. That's a personal commitment. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. So it's with the attitude of gratitude that I must come to him, because when I was down, Lord, you raised me, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. So God is dear in heaven. Ephesians 1 says, God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless before him. The whole body, that is the church, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work, according to Ephesians 4:16. 1 Timothy 1:2-10 says, women who profess godliness should adorn themselves with good works. So, you know, we are not talking about jewelry, you know. The Bible is saying to us that the best dressed woman in Christ is dressed up with God. good work. Think about it. Good work, not bling bling. Good work. Say the old body goes and builds itself in love as each part does its work. Women who profess godliness should adorn themselves with good work. Tabitha, known as Dorcas, was full of good works and acts of charity, according to Acts 9, verse 36. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Not by works, that no one can boast. God gets all the praise, God gets all the glory, because God is the creator. God is the author and finisher. God is the one who has divine ownership. God didn't make us and bought us with his own blood just to give up on us. God is able to keep us from falling. God created the world and everything in it. So he holds ultimate title and authority over it all. Not human. Today, the fashion thing is to want to go to Dubai. Let me tell you about Dubai. Dubai is just a city that was built in the ocean. If God decides that it's going to set a tidal wave, goodbye Dubai. But people are going there, they are doing all kinds of, they got skyscrapers, the tallest buildings in Dubai, you know, Dubai. And people are going there. If you want to know if you have arrived, you take a trip to Dubai. You see people there are pets. Lions are pets. All kind of wild beasts are pets. Because you are in Dubai. But there is a disappointed unto man. Wants to die. After that comes the judgment. What are you going to do when God says to Dubai, goodbye? Serious. A lot of people, if you want to have a status where you have arrived, put it on your calendar. I went to Dubai. I went to Dubai. And silver and gold and all kind of jewelry are manufactured and sent to Dubai. Because money is cheap and abundant in Dubai. But God just comes out. God, who is God? Don't get flustered by anything mankind is doing. Because it's God. He just asked before we were born the question, what shall it profit a man? If he should gain the whole world and lose his soul, what can a man give in exchange of his soul? And if we didn't get the message, he just went down and said, all souls are mine. God owns it all. The thing that we are getting excited about, God owns it all. The people who are saying that they are champions, some we are talking about, some people are upset with the Supreme Court. But don't you know that our God is the Supreme, is the Chief Justice of every Supreme Court? The God we serve, he's got the whole world in his hand. Nothing takes him by surprise. What we see man doing this day is grabbing or killing. You know, how powerful he is in killing. The ability to kill everybody. But did you know that the soul of man never dies? It's a transition from here to there. And even if you don't know God, you will get it. If we don't know God, we are destined for a godless eternity. But we won't die. God breathed in man the breath of life. And the dead man that was there became what? A living soul. That life given to man never dies. When you exit this world, all you do is leave the part that can be left. But the part that cannot die goes on to be with the Lord or in reserve until the final judgment, but it never died. So when God, through the Holy Spirit, formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed him in the breath of life, and man became a living soul, eternity stepped into time, even there. But there was one who had to come. Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. And he made all the provision that you and I can be here today.
Yes.
And what I'm here to do is encourage the saints of God. There's a pleasant, wonderful atmosphere here. God's people are calm. And I know you have, you know, sometimes you hear something that is going to impress you and impact you, and it's very good. I remember I was talking to Pastor Henry's daughter once, and she was telling about Bible study that they do at a, you know, family gathering. And she said, Pastor Henry somehow would make everybody comment. And she said that they would comment, and they comment and finish a long time. And Pastor, you know, she said, I don't know where that is trying all those things in that little place. He's bringing out all those things. I said, Daddy, where did that find all that in this? But when you are led by the Spirit, abundance is at your disposal. So when people look and don't see, it's not because there is not more there. But ask the Lord to give you insight so you can see higher and deeper and broader. So when you stay in the inexhaustible Word of God, when you come out, there's a lot that God has given you. And your daughter or granddaughter, you know, will say, I don't know where grandma find all those things up in that little passage. But the abundance of God, and I know you have a dedicated pastor here, Pastor Henry, a man of the word, and all we have to do is find our place. Because the thing that I want to say to us today is that everyone who is in this building is necessary.
Amen.
Is necessary.
Amen.
For the growth of the ministry. Go to God. The greatest confrontation in the history of the Bible, I think, is when that young man breathing of vengeance was on his way to Damascus. No, not Damascus. But he was commissioned to go and find those who were up the way. And he, with vengeance in his mind, buoyed up by the fact that he had just killed Stephen. Oh, well, he didn't kill him, but his clothes were put on his feet, but he was the supervisor. He was the supervisor for, you know, the young man who told him about Christ and the history of godliness. The Bible says when they were told the truth, they gnashed their teeth, and they rushed upon him, and they stoned him, and put his clothing at Saul's feet. And when Saul got the commission to go and find all those up the way, because Christian going to God, Christian, yes. But on his way persecuting the Christians, he met the founder of the Christian.
Amen.
He met the commander in chief.
Yes.
And he didn't even have time to talk. The commander in chief, you know, slapped him. And he fell off his horse. Maybe that's where the saying comes, he come off his high horse.
Yes.
The Lord slapped him, Jesus slapped Saul of Tarsus. But here's what happened. Immediately, he understood that that was not a normal encounter. So the first thing he said, who art thou, Lord? The man who was commissioned to get rid of Christ, no, bowing before Christ because the Lord humbled him. Who art thou, Lord? But here is the activity that went on there. Jesus says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But here is the next question, which is the pivot part. He said, what will you have me to do? What is my commission then? Because I thought I was all what I was supposed to be a Pharisee, knowing the scripture from I was a young man. Grew up in the, I don't know if it's 70 Adventist church, but I was up with the law. But here is the encounter. When God has an encounter with you, you can't escape the fact that there is a commission for you. Every one of us is called to do a particular thing. And nobody else can do it for us. But here is the beauty of it. God is faithful to enable us to carry out our calling. If we have been given a commission by God, God enables us. John Gordon said, if God has something for you to do, you are immortal until you do it. So what God called us to do, saints of God, nobody can stop us from doing it. So, but the thing we need to do is go to God. You see, a lot of us go to other people. But God is the one who called us. God is the one who saved us. God is the one who commissioned us. So God is the one that we have to consult. Consult the Lord. Because I'm saying the calling that we have is individually to build up the ministry. To let God's people be encouraged by your presence. Sister Ford, if you are called to do something, unless you do it, it will never be done. Something else. I was going through a situation where somebody told me that they wish their mother was not their mother. You know, all the frustration or whatever. But I said to them, the Lord gave me this answer. If your mother was not your mother, you wouldn't exist. You wouldn't exist. You would not, it doesn't matter who you think you are and who you like. The only avenue into this world is where you came. There is no redo. So what you have to learn to do is love your mother, or it will be your father, or it will be whoever it is. Straighten up, repent, acknowledge that you are not perfect yourself, and that the responsibility that you have is to glorify the Lord, and acknowledge that you are faithful and wonderful, but so is the person that you don't like. Because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But coming back to the story on the road with Saul of Tarsus, the beauty of it is Saul was convinced that he was right. He was convinced that the letters of commendation on the authorization that was given to him would take him on his mission, and he would wipe out the Christian sect. Yes. But you can be convinced that you're right and you're entirely wrong.
Yes.
That's why the Bible says we must make our calling and the election sure. Nevertheless, the foundation of God, that's really the seriousness, you know. It's not because I like you, I don't like you, that no matter. But the question is my heart right with God? Do I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Am I only playing, or am I a child of God? Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So these are some personal questions. God has left us all in the dark. When you open His Word, His Holy Spirit is right here to manifest to us that we are indeed His workmanship. He has fashioned us. And here is the thing, God is here to answer our question and to back us up in the calling that He has called us. So what happened with the Damascus Road is that Saul was hit on his high horse, so to speak. He recognized it was divine audience that he had. He asked the question, what will you have me to do? And then when he was given the answer, he went and he did it. He did it with his whole heart.
Yes.
That he was the one who was able to say, I have fought a good fight.
Yes.
I have kept the course.
Yes.
I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of glory. Not for me only, but to anyone. So you see, God will not forget your labor of love. People might not recognize you. They might not give you any kind of benefit of what you have done. But God, who is rich in mercy, God has your back. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Don't play the blame game. For God knows who you are and what you're doing. Lord Jesus, I look at this passage here, and as a man, there is so much in this that I got to take it back to the local church, because this is not my local church. I'm a visitor here. But, you know, you can generally survive only 3 to 6 minutes without accident, because severe, irreversible brain damage. Listen, God, the cutting is garden. God knows what He's doing. Timeline for accident deprivation, 0 to 30 seconds. Think about this thing. The brain uses toward accident. Quick restoration leads to no issues. 1 minute, brain cells lose efficiency. Cognitive function suffers. After 3 minutes, neurons start dying. Mild brain damage becomes possible. 4 to 6 minutes, permanent brain damage is likely. Most brain activity stops. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, but God is awesome. Oh, He has kept us. As I said, when I look around here, and at my age, I won't talk for anybody, but at my age, you thank God for the fact that you're breathing. Because the 31st of this month, I will be 8. No, I will be 8. I will be 8. Not 8-0, 0-8. Amen. Yes, so I'm telling you, but when you reach my young age, you know, you thank God for the fact that you're breathing. And your own, and you're growing up. And God is good. I look at this card. You ever look at this? What man made? Think about it.
Yes.
Every year they modify faster.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Every year they have a new model.
Yes.
God made this 80-year-old model.
Fearfully
and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. So, you don't think that God doesn't have to borrow from anybody to make you. That's the beauty of it. God has an original plan, and every one of us in here is 100% authentic, original, one of a kind, made by God, irreplaceable. What a mighty God we serve. And when God made us, He made spirit for us. Now, some people are saying that the reason why certain country was invaded and all those things, because they have the biggest oil reserve in the world and blah, blah, blah. I don't know about that. I don't get into politics, but one thing I know, God is more than sufficient. God is a God of abundance. God doesn't have to raise anybody's cover to give me food. Oh, glory to God. The God I serve is able to keep me from falling, to present me farther before the presence of his throne with exceeding joy, for he is the only wise God, my Savior. To him be glory and majesty, dominion and power. The God I serve is no respecter of persons. The God I serve don't see you because of who you are, but he sees you because he loves you. Before the foundation of the world, he died upon the cross, and he came to fulfill that which was done in. Because if God is from everlasting to everlasting, that means before he chose to die, he was living. And he was never ever going to die. Because when he died, he said, nobody killed me. I know what death is about, but I just go through it for your sake. We needed someone to die for us. The psalm says, I who was dead, I could not pay. He paid the debt, he didn't owe. That's what Jesus said. From before the foundation of the world, Jesus is. So when he was born, he just fulfilled a predestined thing. Became human, created, became human being for us, so that you and I today can be basking in this great foundation, in this great salvation that God has brought us into his fold. And today we can rejoice for the fact that God is our refuge and our fortress, a very present help in time of trouble. Have you any mountain you can trouble through? God specializes. The God we serve is a specialist. I went to my doctor the other day, and somehow the thing that he told me to do, I don't feel too comfortable, but I asked him to send me to a specialist, but he told me I could take some tablets, and then if it doesn't work, he would recommend a specialist. But our God, the great physician, he doesn't need any recommendation except himself, because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but his blood washes white as snow. God bless the saints. I like the place and pray that you will. Well, I guess when my wife comes, I will come with her. And I will be known as driving Miss, no, not Miss Daisy, driving Miss Shirley. Yes, God. Bless the Lord. You got to be careful because Miss Daisy, who is Miss Daisy?
Yes.
Praise God. But it's nice to be here, and next time we will remember that we should ask, are you sending me to northeast or northwest? So, but it's good to be here in God's presence and just keep the faith. And remember, if there's nothing I want you to know, and it has been on my heart, don't look to anybody else to make you godly. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. The song says there is a greeting far away, but there's a line in it that I want you to live with. There was no other good enough to pay the price for sin. He only Jesus could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. This same Jesus that you have seen departing from you, he will come again. And he told his disciples, blessed is that man who when he cometh John find, you know, blessed is that servant who, when his Lord cometh, he shall find so doing. And he gave us a parting command. He said to every Christian child of God, occupy until I come. Saints of God, I pray that you will continue. If you really do it, start occupying. There's plenty more room in the kingdom. And you are his workmanship. So you are the tool that God has ordained to be used for his glory. Occupy until God comes. God bless you.